Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Man on the Mic podcast, hosted by Jeffrey Mann. This podcast is dedicated to honest discussions that inspire, connect, and bring out the best in our guests. Now let's get started with the show. Here's your host, Jeffrey Mann.
Long time coming.
Yeah.
So very first thing I want to jump in and talk about was your experience with your mission. You've been back for how long?
3 months.
Okay.
Exactly.
And how's it being back?
It's been so fun. It's definitely a bit of an adjustment, but it's been fun getting back into work and dating and all the fun stuff.
And your wife?
I think so.
Okay. What's her name?
Sadie.
Sadie. What's her last name?
Berger.
Okay. She went to school in Utah?
She went down to Dixie.
Okay.
And then came back.
Has she been to your neck of the woods in Idaho?
A couple times.
What does she think?
She loves the city more.
But
we're breaking her in.
Okay.
To the farm, the spiders,
the small town vibes.
The mountains, yep.
Okay. Fair enough. So let's talk about your mission. Was it everything you were expecting?
It was nothing like I was expecting. I don't know what I really thought it would be like, but leaving everything behind, initially I was nervous, you know. Do I really want to give up all of this, or yeah. What I thought was a lot to go do that, but it was like just incredible, so amazing.
What was the most challenging part of your mission?
So probably not what you would think. There's two things that were the hardest part of it. And none of it really was like the missionary work or getting along with a companion. The first hardest part was I had been out for like 6 months and I had a cousin pass away.
Okay.
So that was the first hardest part. And outside of that, everything was really fulfilling, really fun. But then the next hardest part was I had been out 14 months, so over halfway. And they switched me from English speaking to Spanish speaking.
Interesting.
And just threw me into a Spanish area with a companion who knew less than me. And so we didn't know a single thing, and our job was to go talk to people in Spanish.
Why the change?
There's a lot of Hispanic people in that area.
Okay.
And Salt Lake wasn't sending enough Spanish elders. And so our mission president was basically like, anybody want to switch? So I was like, sure, why not? And he's like, cool, start getting ready. And then just kind of threw me in there. And
so what did they give you guys to help you learn? DVDs, books?
Books, yeah. A couple books. Said you've got an hour a day to study these and then go out and talk to the people.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this then. What is your favorite scripture? But in Spanish.
In Spanish. Uh-huh. Let's see. There's so many good ones. In Spanish, my favorite one, I'll have to look it up. I don't have it memorized, but this is my favorite because I found myself sharing this all the time.
Okay.
Whether it was in English or in Spanish. But that's one everyone knows. Ether 12:27. And in Spanish, this is what it says. Okay, Ether 12:27.
Y si los hombres vienen a mí, les mostraré su debilidad. Doy a los hombres debilidad para que sean humildes. Y basta mi gracia a todos los hombres que se humillan ante mí, porque si se humillan ante mí y tienen fe en mí, entonces haré que las cosas débiles sean fuertes para ellos.
Now for idiots like me that don't understand Spanish, what to say in English?
So English is this. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them.
One of the best scriptures.
I love it. Partly because, number one, that was my experience so many times in life, but also just switching to Spanish, right? We have weakness. We have challenges. And it teaches us why, right? He gives us those weaknesses or we have the challenges so that we can be humble, so that we have to rely on Him. And if we will rely on Him, He can make those weak things strong. And so I think it's just a formula. If there's an area of our lives where we're struggling or we're weak or we feel inadequate or we're trying to grow into something, that's good. Because now that means you get to work at it and you get to ask for His help.
Yeah.
And with His help, there's so much more that you can do.
So true. So true. No, I love that. I think especially for me, when I look at my life and I look at my weak areas and the effort I have to put in to turn them into strengths. And yeah. I can't do it alone.
Right.
I got to rely on my Father in heaven. I got to rely on my support group, my tribe, my friends, my family. But in doing so, there's blessings that come with that journey. Now, the journey sucks. Right. I'll be honest. It's not an easy one. But I think it's worth it. I hope it's worth it. Let me say it that way. So let's fast forward to before your mission, before you were out here in Utah. Let's talk about your high school experience. Yeah. Big into sports?
Sports was everything.
And within that journey, there was a turn?
Man.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so just to give a little background, like a lot of kids, you know, sports is everything. Played football, basketball, and I ran track. So that's year-round, right? You've got summer football, you've got summer basketball, and you go right into football season when school starts. You get maybe a week off before basketball season, straight into track season, and then straight into summer thing. And so that was all I knew. I didn't work much. Like, sports was the dream, sports was the life. And especially track, basketball, I mean, all of it, really. But, you know, just like everyone, the dream is to go to the next level.
Yeah.
So if we go to, you know, my senior year, football season, right? And then football is important to me, but basketball was like the dream. And so your worst nightmare is getting hurt playing football or getting hurt doing something else, right? And going into my senior year, I had an interest for track, and I went into football season. And we had won our first game. We were winning our second game. I'd scored a couple touchdowns that game and had just scored a touchdown and a two-point conversion. And we go, and I'm on kickoff. And when you play for a small school, you kind of play everything. Offense, defense, kickoff. And I was on kickoff. And my job was not to go make the tackle. My job was to kind of stay back. You know, I'm fast. And if someone breaks through, to go get them. But me being me, I can't do that, right? I'm going to get him. So we kicked it deep left, and I was on the right side. And there was a false start, or offsides, I mean. We brought it back, and I told Coach, kick it to my side. I said, I'm going to go get him. And he said, okay. So he switched it to deep right, and kickoff happens, and I'm just running down the field, past everybody. And the runner catches the ball, and he goes to make a cut, and I plant to make the tackle, and my knee just ruptures. My knee completely twists.
So it's non-contact?
Non-contact.
See, those are worse.
The turf monster.
Yeah.
And it felt like someone had bumped me, though. And so I fell to the ground, knew immediately something was wrong. And I'm, you know, in pain. I told my coach, I said, he bumped my leg. And he said, no, nobody touched you. And I didn't know it would be a serious injury. I thought, oh, I just twisted my knee, you know, sprained it. It's the beginning of the season. Give me a couple games and I'll be back. Go in to get an MRI. And a week later, I'm sitting in school. And my mom calls me. I was sitting in the computer lab, and I told my teacher I might be expecting a call soon. He said, no worries, just take care of it. And I answer the phone, and it's my mom. And she says, are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, like ready for what? And she said, you ruptured your ACL, you tore your meniscus, it's an 8 to 12 month recovery, and your senior year is over for sports. And so in an instant, everything was taken away.
Yeah.
Right? And I had no clue what that journey would bring, but that's what happened.
So tell us about that your mom gives you that news, where's your mind?
Yeah. Immediately, just tears. You know, once it sinks in and you realize that everything's going to change from here out, just immediate tears. And I excused myself and I went out to the car and, you know, cried, yelled, prayed. And after that, for a while, I got on my phone, you know, opened up Gospel Library, and I read a scripture about fear, right? It was something like, fear not, I am with thee. And so that was just, you know, a comfort, but still, even in that,
yeah,
like, your mind is all over the place. You're upset, you're anxious, you're mad, probably more than anything. Mm-hmm. Like, how could God let this happen? And I think that's normal when we have, you know, tragedy or hard things happen. That's normal.
What, so with that experience, I'd say, what lessons did you take away from it?
Mm. So many. The first lesson was, you know, immediately, you know, I have surgery. And one of the first lessons that I learned was just to really embrace the process. And everybody talks about it, but until you're really in the moment or pursuing something, that doesn't really have a lot of meaning. Trust the process. And for me, what that looked like was just do the best that I can today.
Yeah.
Right? Because you wake up after surgery, you literally can't move. The worst pain you've ever felt. You're high off of all the drugs they give you. And the next day you go to physical therapy. Literally the next morning. And initially, my mind is a year down the road, 6 months down the road. What about basketball? What about track? Am I going to be able to play? What about my dreams to play at the next level? And so my first lesson was trust the process. One day at a time, all you can control is today. Can't control yesterday, you can't control tomorrow. Do the very best you can in this exercise, in this drill, in this moment. So that was the first lesson. Another one that I have never actually talked about publicly. I've never shared this lesson. Two stories, actually. The first one was shortly after surgery. I had to be on crutches for 7 weeks. And so that means at school, I've got my backpack, my books, you know, my shoes, my lunch, everything, and I'm on crutches. And so no elevator. So I'm trying to go upstairs, trying not to fall over. And really just was complaining, you know, poor me, this sucks. Why did this happen to me? And one day I walked out of the lunchroom and I was hiking up these stairs. And at our school, in the parking lot, we have a kind of like a garden in the middle of the parking lot. But it's not just a garden with flowers. What it is it's for people in our community who have passed away. People from our school and our community. Anytime someone from school passed away, they plant a tree. And so I'm complaining and I'm, you know, mad at God. And I finally get up these stairs and I'm just upset. I'm frustrated. And I look up and I see this flower bed, and immediately thought about, that could be me.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am complaining and crying about my knee, and all of these people would do anything to be alive and have a knee injury, but they didn't make it to today. And so immediately that shifted my perspective to, you know, stop complaining. You're alive. Your life's not that bad. So that was that was a huge, huge lesson I learned.
I love that. I tell people all the time, I think we get stuck, especially in Utah, with first world problems. I mean, we have electricity.
Yeah.
We have running water.
Food.
We have technology, food. And I feel like we take it for granted at times.
Yeah.
Sometimes we focus on the things that really don't matter. And at the end of the day, when our time is over and it's checkout time, none of it's going with us. The money, the cars, the houses. No matter what you get, what you have, it doesn't go with you.
It's so true.
And so we really need to shift our focus on what are the things in our lives that really matter? What is our purpose? What is our intentions each day and how do we live? I think for you, you've shown that. The time that we've been friends and
right.
Just the way you interact with people and the light you bring to the rooms, outside of basketball when you talk trash. Other than that, you can be the nicest kid in every room. I'm curious, and I think a lot of people who are trying to become entrepreneurs and get in with companies and influencers could learn something from this, but your journey on coming to Utah and getting connected with Lions Not Sheep, how did that happen?
So, to give the background, once I realized my year's over, I can't play, I've got to do something. I can't sit here on the sideline and feel bad for myself. And I decided to get a camera and start videography. No clue what I was doing, and I just started learning little by little. So I started getting into videography, started filming high school football, high school basketball, you know, some local events, and really in that year just worked at it every single day. I put all of my energy that I used to put into sports into that. And at the time I was doing a little bit here and there with PGC basketball. I was filming some small gigs, and some good friends of mine, Jen and Nate Solomon, who are connected with Sean and Lions Not Sheep, they hit me up and said, hey, Sean just fired his videography guys, his content people. There could be something there. And so in that moment, I packed a carry-on suitcase. At the time, I was doing 75 hard. It was the middle of the winter. It was January. And woke up the next morning, 5 a.m., did my outdoor workout. It's like 6 degrees. And I drove to Utah, and I knocked on the door of the Lions Not Sheep headquarters and told them, hey, I'm in the coaching group. You know, I'm not just a stranger, but I'm here to do content for you guys for free. And they looked at me like, who are you? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to make some free videos if y'all will let me in. And they were like, okay, like, go ahead. And so that's what I started doing. Every day I would just go film something, make a piece of content, send it their way. And they were like, this is dope. This is cool. And, you know, I'd send them another video. And over the course of 2 weeks, I probably sent them 5 to 10, you know, videos, pieces of content. And they were like, we love this. And so I said, cool. I said, I want a job. I want to work here. So I had a meeting with Sean. He said, what can you do? And I said, I'll take over the TikTok. And he said, cool. It's all yours. So got hired and started my work there.
If you could have done that any different, what would you have changed?
I wouldn't have changed anything, because the opportunity was not even there. And so if I had waited or tried to do more, I don't think it would have happened. So I literally just went and made something happen. And I think, you know, everyone can do that, but I don't think I would change anything. I don't think I would change anything.
I love that. What, for you, what's one piece of advice that you would give to any young kid coming up who's looking to become an entrepreneur or an influencer or just get into the game?
Yeah. One would just be, you have to be willing to be bad in order to be good. And for me, for so long, I had all these ideas. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do a podcast. I want to be a video guy. I want to do all these things. But the fear of being bad held me back, right? And I think that's normal for all of us.
Yeah.
We don't want to suck, and we don't want people to see us being bad at what we want to be good at. So you have to be willing to suck. That's the first thing. The first ever, I don't really do photos. I'm more of a video guy. But when I got to Lions Not Sheep, at one of the events, I like took a few photos and sent them to Sean, and they were like terrible. He's like, I don't know if it's the, you know, the phone or what, but these pictures are blurry. And they were they were terrible, because I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But I think you have to be willing to put yourself out there. You have to be willing to be bad. And that's I think that's half of the game right there, is just being willing to start.
I love that. I think that's so true. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to suck. But if you learn from it and grow from it, it opens doors like crazy.
It's so true, because a friend of mine, Justin Wagner, he is the first one who told me this, but all of us have ideas and passions that God has put into our heart. There's that thing that like you feel called to do, or that thing that really just stirs your soul and you're like, this is awesome. I'm passionate about this. And he's put those desires and these goals and these visions and these dreams and this passion in your heart. And if you don't act on that, you're robbing the world of what God put you here to share. Because I think each of us has like lessons and stories and gifts and experiences and passions that probably some of us don't even know what they are yet, that we are meant to share with the world. And so many of us don't share them because we're scared of what someone's going to say, what someone's going to think, and we're scared to be bad.
Yeah. I think there's a level of fear there. There's a level of the unknown on how do I get my message out there. And for me, that's the beautiful thing about social media, is you could talk about whatever, share whatever, and it's going to reach random people. I was down in St. George recently, and I'm working out, and this kid keeps looking at me, and I'm like, what is the deal? And he taps me, he's like, are you Jeff?
And no way.
Like, yeah, he's like, well, I saw one of your videos, and then we started talking and everything, and I gave him my number, and then I'm in Vegas the next day, and just sends me this long message on just thank you, here's what it's motivated me. But he's like, I want to share my message, and I'm like, well, the first step is just go do it.
Yeah.
You can't just keep saying, I want to share my message, I want to do this. Go and do it and try, and if you fail, try again.
Yeah.
So for people out there who want to connect with you, where do they find you?
The biggest is probably Instagram, at Dane Wissenbach.
Okay.
I'm also on TikTok, and soon I'm going to start diving back into the content game, posting more about what I'm up to. And what I know.
But the ladies are not supposed to hit you up, right?
I'm sorry. I'm off the market.
Okay.
Officially.
Okay. We're putting that there officially?
Officially.
Set? Done deal?
Yep. Done deal.
Okay.
You could try, but you won't reach me.
Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you, brother.
Absolutely.
I appreciate your time.